Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our next guest is going to be sitting in this chair tomorrow, in fact, as a guest host of Ebling and You, along along with his son, and I guess not. I guess we have changed that. We have Russ White going to be doing that tomorrow, and John, we may be asking you to fill in again before the end of the year. But Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, joins us. And John, I want to talk a little bit about disappointment, especially at this time of year, and how difficult it can be for people in the holiday spirit and at the holiday season. It seems as if it's even tougher to deal with those things.
Well, I think it is, Jack. You know, as we've talked before, and I'm sure many others, when they think of it, this is the time of year where everybody's supposed to be happy. You know, it's the old Andy Williams when he'd go around and other, you know, shows of the Christmas holidays. You're supposed to be in a good mood. You're supposed to see family. You're supposed to eat well. You're supposed to feel. Everything is supposed to be good. And if they're not, it makes it doubly bad. And then we get the winter coming without the, you know, with more and more clouds. So there's a lot of whammies that can hit people at the time that's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year.
And we have a rise in suicide rates at the holidays. And a lot of times people work themselves up so much about what they're going to see, expectations, that it becomes almost impossible for some events to live up to those expectations, and then there's tremendous disappointment.
Well, that's true also, Jack. You know, if you were planning on a certain family member, you were going to see your family members on Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden things change. Because as generations, as you go to two, three, four generations trying to get everybody together, it becomes harder and harder. You know, someone marries, someone goes here, someone goes another place, and you can't keep everybody together. And sometimes you don't even know you're sharing, and all of a sudden you find out that you have lost part of the family, or even worse than that, it's a permanent thing that year after year after year you don't see people that when you were growing up you remembered seeing all these people, and now everything is changing.
What about dealing with the loss of a loved one over the holidays, John?
Much worse. It's difficult any time. Right now, I was just thinking about that. There are three people that I'm talking to that have lost a family member during this time of year, and some years ago. And it's not one of these where it's every day or anything, but all of a sudden, certain times of the year, and holidays seem to be the worst. If you had a relative that a person you really loved and cared for that say died in July, that would also impact. Mm-hmm. But when you seem to add the holidays and a time to be happy, and someone that you associate with parties and get-togethers and families, and all of a sudden it isn't there. And if it is a particular parent or grandparent that may have been the glue that kept two, three generations together, then it becomes even worse. So holidays are a time that far beyond any other time of the year. I can just tell you my own experiences.
Sure.
And what I see with people, I see it over and over again. These are the times of the year that make death, people we love, people we think of, people we associate with, this time of year, they're not here, and it makes it a lot tougher for a lot of people, more than you might imagine.
John, I love the nighttime. I just don't like it at 5 p.m. And a lot of people get kind of down in the dumps, and they just talk about how gray winter is and how short the daylight hours. How much does that impact people's moods?
Well, I don't think there's any question. We know we call it seasonal affective disorder or depression, but there's no question that when you get shorter days, you get overcast, you don't get as much sun, it definitely impacts people. It just makes sense. A sunny, long day that you're out walking around at 9, 10 o'clock and there's still some light, versus 5:30, dark, overcast, cold. We've actually ironically had some nice weather, but once we start really getting cold, you can't be walking, you worry about the ice, all these things, there's no question that can have a negative impact on a lot of people. And even if you're a snowmobiler, you can't be snowmobiling every day.
Yeah, and I don't mean to insinuate that we've had bad weather. We've had tremendous weather late this year, but I know that the bad stuff is coming. It's inevitable. So I did want to talk to you a little bit about expectations in terms of athletics, because we've seen this recently, and you get three teams vying for a Rose Bowl berth, and there's only one of them from a conference, and someone else is going to get a bid to another BCS bowl game, and a third team, probably Michigan State, is going to wind up playing in the Capital One Bowl. And despite the fact that all three teams have the same records, despite the fact that one of those teams has the best record in games among those three, that's the one that's probably going to be going somewhere it's gone recently. And I've heard a lot of people the last few days, it's almost surprised me, John, have said, yeah, Michigan State won the championship, but they're not going to the Rose Bowl.
Well, you know, Jack, I feel that way. I mean, I'm enormously happy we could be going to Orlando, I mean, wherever we might go. I think that's wonderful. And I think if anybody had told me an 11-1 team would not be going to a BCS Bowl or to the Rose Bowl, it has to be the first time something like this has happened since the BCS, with, you know, within the Big Ten.
Right.
Now, when I say disappointed, I am, because, you know, since I was, as long as I can remember, the Rose Bowl is the dream of people in the Midwest. Heck with the BCS, I'll tell you that. To me, the the Rose Bowl is what it, the Big Ten and Pac-10, what they're all about. Now, with all of that said, when you're 11-1, you win the Big Ten championship, you are going to be going to a wonderful bowl. You may very well be going up against Old Saban. Hard to be disappointed, but let us be honest, the Rose Bowl is the one people want. So part of life is accepting, even in good times, even in victory, it may not give you exactly what you never imagined you wouldn't have, and that's when you have to count your blessings and be happy rather than having gone like Rich Rod has, 1-14 against the top five teams in the Big Ten the last 3 years. But it shows how quickly things change. We're 11-1, most likely going to New Year's Day Bowl, and people are down. It's astonishing to me, but I'm part of that group.
Big Ten has actually had this happen three times now, and the Southeastern Conference has had it happen a couple of times, but it hasn't happened before the bowl games. They've needed to get bowl wins for three teams to finish with 11 wins, and no conference has ever had three teams finish with 12 wins, and that could happen.
Yes. Well, you know, Jack, all I can say is it's fascinating. And this is when you get out your history book and start looking at some of these things. And you also look at the 2 years that Ohio State went to the national championship and how that kind of moved back with Illinois going. I mean, I'm just saying it's fascinating to watch. But again, I'm trying to focus on the positive, astounding, winning the Big Ten, the defensive secondary, which everybody maligned, and poor Narduzzi, all of a sudden end up with all this wonderful thing, line play, all of this stuff in a very positive way, and you don't want to diminish the fact that one thing you might have really wanted out of 50, you can't focus on that one, regardless of how important it might be in your own mind. You have to count your blessings instead of sheep and just try to move on and be happy, Jack. 11-1, and here Michigan State people are upset. This is like the old Bo Schembechler days. Right here, Izzo, with his astounding program, talking about how we're not playing well enough. I mean, how does someone not playing well enough if you just lose a game every now and then?
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night with Michigan State at Duke. And Michigan State's going to have to play awfully well to win that one. And that's a game that matched what people thought would be the number one and number two teams in the nation before the season, but hasn't necessarily looked like that all the time with Michigan State now.
But this is not Izzo time yet. I mean, meaning he gets.
You don't start the clock on him till March, right?
Until March, even though that will be an amazing matchup tomorrow.
John, I look forward to having you on the show again soon, and really appreciate the job that you and young John did last Tuesday, and we'll be talking with you very soon.
Come on, we had a great time, like always. You know, we always have a good time, Jack. So listen, good talking to you, and hey, great having you back in town.
All right, thanks so much.